Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
This is our league, and this is your league. Broadcasting from the 55-yard line in Japan to the shores of the Great White North and everywhere around the world on Gridiron America Radio and the Sports History Network.
Welcome to From the 55-Yard Line. We are here on YouTube tonight, and we are doing a live stream. This podcast, this show will be available later on audio form over at your favorite, whatever podcast platform you have. So everybody who is tuning in, thank you very much. It's Dave and I sitting down, and we're taking a huge U-turn from what we normally cover here on the show, which is gridiron football. But as the banner below, as you can see, as I'm still trying to figure out how to do things with this new streaming platform we have, we're talking baseball today. Particularly, we are talking about what's going on both here in Japan and the U.S. with Shohei Ohtani and the current gambling scandal that's in the news. So Dave, I know what's going on my end here in Japan with the coverage. What's going on in America, man? What are people saying?
Well, it's everyone's trying to outscoop everybody else, and it seems like in the eyes of many people, he is guilty before anything is done because of the story changing and just the way it was released and changed and things like that. It's crazy. I'll be honest. It's absolutely crazy. And I guess it's to be expected when it's the best player in baseball or best player in a sport who is caught up into something. And then there's a language barrier because he's always been there, but not really right there. So,
well, I mean, when it comes to, when it comes to baseball in Japan, baseball is the number one sport here, bar none. I mean, it's basically like American football. It's on, it's a continuous news cycle, even in the off season. But yeah, it's a different game here. And yes, the cultural, there's huge cultural differences between the two leagues and the two sports and everything. I take that back. Between the two leagues and the two countries and how they approach things, it's just, if you've ever seen Mr. Baseball, that's, even though that movie's like 30 years old, that's still, everything in that movie still rings true, both not only on the baseball field, but also on the football field, and that just how different things are here. So what did I miss in the overnight? Because when I got up, it just seemed kind of the same old same. Obviously, it's Sunday over there. And the MLB, if I'm not mistaken, is what are they saying? Is the MLB conducting a thorough investigation? And I'm using air quotes here. Or, and then I heard also, too, when I was coming into here, I heard the words FBI come up. That was the only English words I could understand on NHK here.
They're gonna investigate it. I mean, it's gonna be thorough. It's gonna at the end of the day where it's gonna go where it leads to, and that's really what's gonna come down to. The worst thing that happened was you had two games and then a week off. So basically, you had the first two games in Korea, and now you have not meaningless games, but games that don't count the rest of spring training with the season starting Thursday. So it's just one of those things where it's going to take some time. Major League Baseball said he can play while the investigation's going on. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to take that long to figure it out. Like, if you bet on baseball, that's one thing. If you didn't bet on baseball, honestly, who cares in 2024?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, a couple things here. First of all, I don't think he bet on baseball. I mean, the guy is making, I mean, first of all, he just got married. He's making, he's the highest paid baseball player ever. He lives a very frugal life from what I've seen covered in the news here and from what I've seen in print. It's his interpreter. And it's also, too, the other issue, too, is we're not talking like, you know, they're calling a bookie. If I'm understanding this correctly, it's all because of the phone and the app. And how much are they saying that the interpreter, when it comes with the interpreter, how much money are we talking here in terms of what was bet and what was lost?
I thought it was $4.5 million.
That's a lot of dough. I mean, that's...
It's not. I mean, and that's 2+ years of salary because Ohtani's only making $2 million because it's all deferred.
Right.
He makes over 40 in his sponsorship and his other deals. So
the money
makes that. But it's just, I don't know. When I first heard it drop, that's when I did most of my looking up. Like, I look at European soccer. It seems like that's been betting's been part of that game as long as I've been watching it. And in the EPL, you can't bet on soccer, but you can bet on anything else. And that it seems like that's what the rules are. And if it's going to come down to, if we're going to spend a lot of time going, well, it's illegal in California. Was he doing it in California? Because that's what the app was. I mean, it just seems like it. Either we get through this, we find out what it is, but I just don't see it anything as more of, you know, $4.5 million was lost. Somebody lost it. If they can't trace it to baseball, if it's other things, I frankly don't care. But that's me.
Right. Yeah. I can. Yeah. And that's kind of my take on this too. Because when I was kind of, you know, I was skimming the news headlines. I'm trying to get away from that, actually get my news from the internet. And, you know, now I'm going to using my press reader on my iPad to actually read newspapers. And the feel I get from everything is just kind of like you said, it's like, you know what? There's probably no there. It's an interesting story, but my gut is telling me that this is all on the interpreter. I don't think anything's on Ohtani. Now, yeah, I just can't see it. And in my previous life and the career that I retired from, I actually dealt a couple times with MLB, and I dealt with the MLB and I dealt with investigations and how they're conducted. Particularly that I don't know if you remember that White Sox scouting scandal that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God, how long was that ago? That was one of those interesting, that was one of those cases that lands on my lap and I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, oh, and then I started digging and I'm like, you know, very rarely do you see your, I dealt with a lot of high, you know, along with my coworkers, we dealt with a lot of high profile cases there in Chicago, but this one of the few ones, that I've ever seen land on the sports section. And but in my dealings with MLB for my job, yeah, they were pretty thorough. I mean, but if there's no evidence, if it's like you said, if he's betting on something other than base, then there's really not a story here.
But unfortunately, in the age we live in, to get that click, everything is sensationalized. Like everything, it a couple different people I follow and different baseball writers, and it's like the headline: Shohei's in danger. The truth will come out. I'm like, yeah, it's gonna come out, but it's just one of those things where it's just seemed like it's been so. And I'm not trying to downplay it. Believe me, I'm not. Because if he bet on baseball, all bets are off. It's a whole different thing. But in today's age, it's a lot different. Like, I did a lot of looking up on the NFL, and you got a year suspension. Like, Calvin Ridley bet on the Lions, bet on football. He's back. He took his year off, and he came back. So it's just not gambling in 2024 is not the dirty word of when Jimmy the Greek was connected back in the day with the NFL and things like that. It's just not the same. And there's just too much money, like hundreds of billions of dollars, like just too much money on the table.
Yeah.
That this is ever going to change or go away.
Yeah. And well, it's like, you know, going back to my old job, why judges are paid so much to get rid of that temptation to, you know, be on the take. There are judges that are on the take, I'm sure, out there somewhere, but there's a reason why the salaries are the way they are. They've got to the point where why would you, you know, not like in the days of Alex Karras and Paul Hornung, and those guys, there was never every evidence. There was just a suspicion. I mean, they were hanging out with the wrong people and all that, and they got suspended. But back in those days, those guys were making, for lack of a better term, minimum wage compared to today's standards. But we are a far cry from 100 years ago when the White Sox, you know, the eight men out when the White Sox threw the World Series. So, though it is interesting. And like you said, we haven't heard from Pete Rose yet. And I'm just waiting for all that to come out for him to, you know, maybe he will do us all a favor and keep his big mouth shut. But no, and Pete Rose over the years, probably not. But yeah, this is far cry from what he did. I mean, and that's the other thing too. How many, I don't know if you, I took a quick dive into the toxic soup that is Facebook, that is baseball Facebook. And everybody's just, you know, with Pete Rose, it's like, no, people forget the facts. Pete Rose, he got banned from baseball. He agreed to that. That was part of the deal. You know, and then he admitted later he actually bet on baseball. So, you know, so I don't.
He was managing the Reds and betting on the Reds. I mean, kudos that he was betting on them to win. Kudos, hey, kudos he was betting on them to win and not to lose and manage that way. But
that's what he says, obviously. Yeah,
the years and years of denying it. It's like the I equate Pete Rose to like the steroid era now. If you said yes, I did it. You came clean. You took the heat, and then you did your welcome. You did your comeback tour and talked about it, and then you've been brought back in the graces. But if you strongly deny it, that's like the barrier that's keeping you out of the Hall of Fame.
Right. Well, it's like with Sammy Sosa and the Cubs, because I don't know if you saw the news, but Sammy returned to Chicago, and he didn't go to Wrigley Field. The Ricketts have basically said it, have made it clear, unless you come clean, you're not coming. We're not going to welcome you back. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He just did an interview last week, and the gentleman asked him, "Are you ready to come clean about steroids?" He just stopped. He goes, "I didn't think you were going to ask me that question." And he did answer it. It was hilarious. It was like, how'd you not think that was going to be asked?
You know, it's funny with Sammy because he could have owned the city of Chicago. I mean, he was that, whether he was juiced or not, I mean, he was just that type. A personality, plus you add his crazy wife on top of that, because she was another part of that circus. But you know, I mean, I remember that 2003 NL championship game, and the Cubs obviously were this close to getting to the World Series to play the Yankees. But yeah, dude, come on, you know, it's like, come clean now. I mean, you're not getting in the Hall of Fame, you know you're not getting in the Hall of Fame, just might as well come clean and just be done with it. And then we can all move on with our lives. Otherwise, there's always that asterisk hanging over your head. And I don't know. I miss, you know, baseball has its issues back in the States, which is why I like watching the MPB here, because you don't have those issues. It's very much, how do I want to say, it's very Japanese when it comes to Japanese baseball. Is very, you go up there, it's, you know, like in the old days back, you didn't spike the football in the end zone in Japan. You don't, I don't want to say, there's only a few guys that are allowed to showboat. But other than that, the vast majority, business as usual, man. It's pretty, but
no personalities.
No, not really. I mean, you've got your stars. Yeah. You've got, you know, your managers, you got some managers. Was it Shinjo? Or was it played for the Mets? Oh God. He played on the Mets for a cup of coffee and he was okay, but he came back here. He's managing the Ham Fighters, the Nippon Ham Fighters. Nippon Ham is the company, but they're called the Fighters. So, you know, they're the Ham Fighters to me, but, yeah, he's kind of a showboat, but you know, I mean, but when it comes to the players, I mean, there's not, again, without Shohei Ohtani, I mean, he is the big star, but he doesn't even play here anymore. So, but with baseball, but baseball back in the States, obviously has its issues with, has a lot of issues. What do you say?
I'm looking forward to the season. I think I really am. I'll be honest. My Blue Jays are looking good. The AFC East is going to be a gauntlet once again, as it always is. But yeah. With the Yankees seemingly, I mean, I don't want to see people hurt, but Gerrit Cole missing 2 months is going to be a wonderful thing for everyone else in the East. But now you're chasing the Orioles. But I don't know. I would like to see less home runs and more putting the ball in play, but
yeah,
that's not how it's structured. The you're not Tony Gwynn and Pete Rose. No one's paying for that type of player anymore. The singles hitter, the high average hitter. It's about right. Home run. It's waiting for that 3-run home run instead of manufacturing runs. Like you don't play Whitey Herzog 300 stolen bases for the Cardinals in the early 80s. You're looking for 250 home runs, and the ERA's around 4.5. Yeah, we're scoring 5. That's good enough. Like just the game evolves, and it's just one of those things where I don't know. I guess I'm trying very hard not to keep going back to, well, back in the day when baseball was baseball, because even that time, me growing up in the late 80s, early 90s as a teenager, my father didn't like that game because it's different than the game that he watched. And it's just always evolving. The money drives a lot of these decisions now. So of which money always drove decisions,
but right
now we're just talking about buildings worth of money right now. Buildings.
Well, back when we were kids, and I go back, you know, a little bit farther, because for me, my era of baseball is the late 70s with the Cubs. From 77 through 84, I knew every starting lineup. I followed them religiously, and those were, you know, my formative, you know, late, you know, preteen to, you know, basically right before I started college. And so, and being in Chicago too, I was fortunate enough to have the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs were on like clockwork on WGN Channel 9, get home from school, boom, the Cubs are on. So it was always, you know, it was an institution. But now, but again, going back to what you said, money always drove things. But now money, it's just back then it was hidden in the background. I mean, at least visually, when you turn on a game back then when we were kids, you know, you watched a game, you know, you saw some, you knew there were sponsors. They said the sponsors, but you didn't see it in the field. I mean, Wrigley Field never had any advertising, but now it's all right there in front, which is fine. That's how the game has evolved. And I'm like, kind of like you. I'm not one of those where it's like, well, back in my day, no. I mean, everything evolves. Everything, it's like with football. You know, we could go, people were going round and round about Terry Bradshaw, how he's not an elite quarterback. I go, well, you know what? When you have four championships, you're an elite quarterback, period. I don't care how you got those wins. If your running game and your defense carried you, you're an elite quarterback if you've got four Super Bowl rings. So, but yeah, no, times change. So, but the big thing though is with when it comes to baseball, it's the fan base. I mean, are kids watching baseball now? And so that's my question. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, I'm sitting here. I mean, I know kids are, you know, kids are more into soccer now than ever before. The NFL has indoctrinated, you know, young fans with Madden. But what about baseball? I mean, is baseball, are you seeing it? I mean, you're closer to the ground with kids and everything than I am. What are you seeing?
Attendance is up. The ratings are up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay.
And you have to really, it's tough because the World Series did a good rating, but they compare it to 15 years ago when you have less options. Like if you're then they compare it to the NFL or they compare it to the Olympics or something. I guess I don't see the sponsors necessarily, like the networks paying for the actual people. It's everything else that goes with it.
Right.
The games are selling out. Tennis is very good across the league. Okay. Even after the whole situation with the minor leagues that people are still bitter about, minor league attendance is up. It looks like a lot of people who criticize Major League Baseball when they dropped all those teams that they would regret it. And it actually has kind of strengthened the minor leagues. Pay is better. Attendance is better.
Right. And with those teams that were lost, it seems to me, and just kind of reading around, just kind of looking around, while a lot of those teams are still around, but in a different form now, aren't they?
Correct. Yes. A lot of them went to that college wooden bat. And honestly, probably the best thing that could happen to them. A lot of the cities, I really need to sit down and look at those numbers again. A lot of the cities were actually doing better attendance wise with that wooden bat league. There's several different names of the college wooden bat leagues across the United States. We have several teams up here in the Western New York area with that. But I think at the end of the day, it was a good decision. The facilities at some of these smaller Class A stadiums were falling apart. Right. There was a hard time between the money in the area, the local community, to build something nicer or better. And I think the time has come. I think if I remember correctly, I think it was the early 60s, the last time any changes took place in the minor league system.
Wow. So, well, there are towns, I mean, you know, using the Midwest League as an example, there were some towns on the Midwest League. I looked at, you know, how can they support a professional team? I mean, granted, just single A, but still a professional, you know, like Burlington, Iowa is a good example. I kind of thought it was a good idea, but at the same time, not knowing what would come of those stadiums and those teams, but to see them resurrected is kind of awesome. And the other thing too, with minor league baseball is you had there was a point where you had cities all of a sudden were building minor league ballparks. I know in Joliet, Illinois, where I used to work, and actually they started building the baseball stadium. The minor league team came to town when I left town to go take another job. So I you know, the office where I worked at was is right across the street from the minor league ballpark. But you had a lot of like suburban areas all of a sudden building minor league stadiums too. Did that, was that part of it too? The movement of, I mean, how did that affect it, I guess, in your opinion?
I think they built in minimum standards now. So okay. They, to be AAA, AA, single A, there's different tiers. And here yeah. in, I'm in Rochester, and they're actually putting in quite a bit of money to renovate. I mean, the stadium is 28 years old already, which think about does not seem like a long time, but it is a long time. So
right.
They're putting quite a bit of money in because they understand that if they want to stay at AAA, there's things that they need to have. So, okay. If you compare it to, say, down the road in Buffalo, Buffalo has had a great advantage. If anybody won anything with COVID, Salem Field in Buffalo won.
Yeah,
because
when the Jays came, how long there? Yeah. Did the Blue Jays play the entire season there?
No, they start in Dunedin. And then they played, I think, 3, maybe 4 months. I went to 4 games. It was fantastic. It was awesome. Yeah. But they put in, I want to say, between $4 and $5 million in putting new locker rooms in, putting new batting cages in, a lot of things behind the scenes that fans didn't necessarily see to give it a major league feel for the players.
Okay.
But it was wild. It was great going. I mean, when I was in high school, there was the big expansion. Buffalo lost out in the expansion with the Rockies, and it was good to see all those years later of Major League Baseball back, because it was not sure how close it ever was, but it was at least being mentioned.
Okay, yeah, and with the current. Now, is there any talk in Buffalo about, you know, potentially the next round of expansion going to Buffalo, or is Buffalo resigned itself to being AAA for
at this point? Yeah, I think at this point they've resigned. That the same family who owned the team back then still does it now, but I just don't see that. There hasn't been any talk of that in well over 20 years now. I mean, I think it's a great AAA market for baseball. Facility is fantastic. I just think it's a good niche. Good and I like the relationship with Toronto. I think it's great. I mean,
right.
There's a good one with the Pirates years ago, Cleveland, Mets. I think the Blue Jays are just like the ideal. Under 2 hours away from Buffalo, Toronto, you can get the players there instantly. So hopefully they keep that going for a long time.
And with radio and TV in Buffalo, are the Bisons on like regular local TV for their games?
They're on radio. There used to be years ago, it was called Empire Sports Network, a regional cable network, but that closed many years ago now, but I think they're just on the radio. They might do a little TV. I'm not up to date with that personally, but I can listen to games on here. But so
okay, yeah, because I didn't know. I mean, I know with the regional sports networks are kind of going away. I mean, there was a whole thing on YouTube I watched with how regional sports networks are just. They're crashing. And but I knew that minor league sports made up a huge chunk of their programming in some regions. So I wasn't too sure. And obviously we've talked about streaming, you know, a lot on this podcast, but I wasn't too sure, you know, in the reality for you in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, you, with the MILB, I mean, with MLB TV, you can get that. And now with your MLB subscription, it comes with the minor leagues. So
okay,
if you get that package, then you can also do that as well. So I could watch the games
okay
on the internet if I want to. But to be honest with you, not so much. I am not a Milwaukee Brewers fan, but I am trying to take every opportunity to listen to Bob Uecker I can, as I mean, I don't know how many more years he's going to do it. So it's just fun. It's fun listening to him.
I was just going to ask you, is this his last season?
I don't know. He only does home. He only does the home games. He doesn't go on the road.
Right.
Last couple of years, I sporadically picked up the MLB package. I think this year I might just do there's a radio package. So I might just do that so I can – I mean, he doesn't do TV. I mean, I can just listen to him on the radio station in Milwaukee that hosts the game. See, that's what he does. So yeah. I might pick up that package because it's great. It's great taking a walk down memory lanes. He still tells amazing stories, and it's –
yeah,
and it's, I don't know, it's part of baseball. It's
yeah. Like, speaking of the Brewers, have you ever been to Miller? Well, I still call it Miller Park, but have you ever been to the Dome there in Milwaukee?
I've driven past it. I have not been inside of it.
Before we moved, the summer before we moved, my wife and I took up a game in Milwaukee. They were playing the Reds, actually. And it was Robin Yount Jersey Day. And it was just, it was luck would have it. And not only, so we got there, just, you know, we got there and I'm like, what's the line for? I'm kind of like, okay, there's got to be a reason. Oh my God, they've got, it's Robin Yount Jersey. Who's Robin Yount? I had to explain. But as luck would have it, we both got jerseys that fit us.
That's awesome.
And it worked out. Because, you know, when you go to those giveaway games, you just don't know what you're going to have left. But that was the first time I'd seen a game in Milwaukee, oh, in 25 years, because the last time I saw the Brewers play, they played the Yankees at Old County Stadium. And I went up with a bunch of Army Reserve buddies. And, it was cool. You know, just that was the – and just made me think about it. That was the last MLB game that I went to before we moved to Japan. So, and, yeah, no, but, yeah, thinking about – yeah, the Brewers and everything. But and then there's also the thing, too. Have you heard the Brewers are talking about maybe moving? They want a new stadium now?
That's the end thing to do is when you want the money, threaten to move.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what the White Sox do. I think the Bears and the White Sox are going to figure this thing out together. Because where those stadiums are planned are literally blocks from each other. And it's that area of the city of Chicago where it's being built up. Gentrification's kicking in. It's a good spot. You know, ideally, I think the Bears would want to be in Arlington Heights with the Dome and everything. But if they're going to stay in Chicago, just going a little south of that Soldier Field and basically gutting and giving, you know, basically – returning old Soldier Field to the way it used to be, because they said they're still going to keep that and make colonnades, keep the colonnades and everything. So I, you know, it'd probably be a lot more green space, probably be like maybe like a high school field or something like that, kind of what they did with Kezar Stadium in San Francisco or Balboa Stadium. Keep the field there and keep everything, but, you know, move the big thing south. And hopefully turn it into a win-win for everybody.
Can the Bears actually leave, like, the city?
Yeah.
Would there be a revolt if they moved to the burbs?
No.
After all these years?
No. Not with the way the prices for tickets are. I mean, and plus, you know, most of the Bears fan base comes from the suburbs anyway. True. I mean, it costs you an arm and a leg. Going downtown is a pain in the ass. Just getting to, I mean, public transportation is great, but just getting to the stadium, I mean, that's a haul and a commitment. I don't know. It depends where you live, though. I mean, Arlington Heights is in the northwest suburbs. And from where I live, honestly, where I lived, basically in the city, getting to Arlington Heights, even though it was farther out, was an easier drive than going into downtown Chicago. So, and I was 10 miles from downtown Chicago, where I was 40 miles from Arlington Heights. But Arlington Heights would be the, you know, same way with the United Center versus Allstate Arena. Allstate Arena is an easy drive, but, you know, in Chicago, you've got to deal with the Eisenhower Expressway, which is basically like Death Race 2000. It's you're taking your life in your hand anytime you go on that highway. It's just, it's insane. It, not only with bullets, but crazy drivers. I mean, every other day, there's news of a horrible accident on that highway. So, but yeah. So I think it's going to happen. It's just a question of when it's going to happen. So, hey, before we wrap up, we got about 10 more minutes here. Let's dive into, I don't know, one of our favorite subjects, but I think least favorite subjects. But we got the UFL starting this week. What do you think? What are we looking at? I mean, you and I sat down and we dissected the XFL last year till we were blue in the face. Are you hopeful this year?
I think so. I'm going to stay optimistic on this. I really do. I'm curious to see another year. A lot of, with the coaching staffs, another opportunity. It seems like teams have brought back, not everybody, but it seems like teams are looking to keep players. It's not like it's a wholesale roster change for everybody. But I'm really curious to see, like, what the Stallions do. Like, I mean, this is year three for Skip Holtz and that and his crew, and see how do they continue their dominance as they did in the USFL. I'm curious to see how the Battle Hawks, the team responds to 40,000 fans, because it's almost one of those things where it's wonderful that St. Louis is hosting the UFL championship game. But what will turn out, what will the crowd be if St. Louis isn't in it?
Right.
That's what I'm curious about. But just really going through, I honestly haven't had the greatest opportunities yet to really dive into rosters. It seems like this week now they're down to their final rosters. A lot of teams have been shuffling in and out quarterbacks still, which is understandable. It happens everywhere. So I'm curious to see how the on-field product is. I think it'll be strong again. And I'm not really sure how much I'm really going to be with the attendance and things like that. I guess you can look at any team that doesn't sell out. At the end of the day, you could call that a failure because, hey, you had the opportunity to sell it out.
Right.
But it's one of those things where I think it's a lot of different factors going into this about building your reach into the market. And I think a lot of teams are still doing that. And I think they got to find the right marketing angle. They got to find the right staff to build that connection. And they're still using the hub, which is fine. If it means it stays around another 3-4 years by doing this and building it until you can sell it to somebody in Birmingham and then they have an owner or things like that, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
I'm just curious to see, and I'd love to hear your opinions as well as what the expectations are on the field this year. I was pleasantly surprised with the play of with both leagues last year.
Oh, overall. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the play was, you know, I never had an issue with the play at all. I mean, for a couple things here. We know this is minor league football. We know this is also at the same time a developmental league. We also knew that, you know, a lot of these rosters were they were still trying to figure things out, and the play obviously got better as the season went along. Yeah, now the quality of play, I never had an issue with the XFL or with the USFL. Obviously, my issue's always been with how it's been covered in the media, by the fan media and the expectations and so, you know, the hyped up expectations in social media versus the reality of what we see or don't see on TV. So that's always been my main issue with the league. And, you know, I've had to step away from that a lot because it was taking up way too much of my time, even kind of with the LFA too. I have not had a chance to really, as much as I wanted to get Gridiron Mexico off the ground, you know, sometimes I have a tendency to bite off more than I can chew. Even though I'm retired, I'm 15 hours, my time, I'm 15 hours ahead of everybody. So other things kind of get in the way with life and everything that I'm just not able to focus. But hopefully what we see on TV, what we see in the ratings matches the hype that's on social media. But, you know, like it goes back to think of what I said at the very beginning, how I'm getting my news now. You know, I've been going back to reading old school newspapers. Nobody's talking about the UFL. So I'll be curious to see if, and to me, that's a kind of a reflection of what's going on in the media back home as to what's being covered there. Because obviously, I mean, you know, even, you know, in this day and age, and, you know, we're what, 24, 25 years into the 21st century, living in a foreign country where nobody speaks English. I mean, I live in Japan, so, but I still have access to all the media. I still, YouTube, Pluto TV, I got my DAZN, I got my NFL Network and all that. And, you know, all the content create, all the coverage of the UFL is on YouTube by fans. But the mainstream media, other than the websites, I'm not, you know, again, we consume our news so different now than what we used to, not only with regular news, but with sports news, that it's become fragmented. You know, I know the UFL SI people that used to work for somebody else, they're trying to do stuff. But what I kept seeing in the social media was all this circular reporting going on and on. One person reports it, then everybody else jumps on and report, doesn't cite the original author, and it goes, and it's just like, okay, you're not giving me anything new. The only person that's doing anything original is Scott Adamson, at least from what I'm seeing. And God love Scott, because that's what makes Scott a great sports writer, is he does his own thing. He just doesn't look and, you know, copy somebody else's work and then passes it. You know, I had to step away from that because it was really getting to me. And then, you know, Fran does the same thing over at our Sports Central. He does his own take. He does his own thing. I don't know how much they're going to cover at our Sports Central with the UFL. I know they're going to – obviously they're going to cover it, but, you know, Scott's kind of all in with the UFL at this point with covering Birmingham. I don't know how much, like, our Sports Central is going to cover, you know, is going to cover the UFL. They got other things to cover that other people aren't covering. And all the others, you know, Pro Football Newsroom, UFL Newsroom, the rest of them, you know, I mean, they're all trying to cater to the fan base. But it's a very, very small fan base. And unless the UFL hits the big time with broadcast TV, with games going on the mainstream stations and getting huge ratings, you know, I'm not, my expectations aren't really that high.
And picking back off that, I'm really not sure what to expect with ratings, because it's just, as we talked about with other sporting events, the way the ratings work now, it's hard to compare it to other things because it's just so many choices out there. At the end of the day, we'll find out in the fall how well it does when the sponsorship numbers come in and the revenue generation that the league is trying to do comes in and where it falls. I think the combined effort, at least for me, I believe it has a stronger financial backbone than either league by itself. So Where does that go? It's obviously even though this would be year three for the USFL and year two for XFL, it's in essence a first-year entity once again.
Yeah.
Because of the different things you had to do to create that first-year entity. So it's going to lose money. But I think when you take the best of both leagues, in which I think they did do that. They get the best of it and combine it. I think you have the best opportunity to succeed. Now,
right.
It's just what the end of the day is, what does succeed? What's that definition? Like, mm-hmm. is it getting a 8 rating on Fox on a Saturday? No, but at the end of the day, if they come close to breaking even on the number of sponsorship on the sponsorships they sell and the the extra things along the way, then that's a win, and that buys them another year, buys them more time, and we'll see. I am curious now to see how, because there's only one and not two, how Fox and their broadcast television partners will carry this beyond just having the game on their channel. I'm curious if we're going to see a little more this year, because you're not having to try and cover two things. It's just one thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's frustrating for me. I'm not going to be able to, I mean, we've got Fox and we've got ESPN. Have they said anything about ESPN's coverage on ESPN Plus? Or is it going to be like last year with the XFL? Or, you know, I don't have access to Fox Sports over here. So am I only going to be able to watch half the games? I mean, I don't know how they're doing it with the broadcasting streaming wise.
I'll look into that. I really don't know. That's on me. I should have looked.
I honestly didn't
think about that, because to be frank, I just assumed it was going to be on ESPN Plus, but I should not go ahead and assume that.
It's one of those. I hadn't really thought about it until we sat here and talked about it. Because I know with the LFA, all their games are on YouTube, which kind of goes into my final thoughts here, talking about football and everything. Were you able to watch any of the LFA this weekend?
Yes.
How'd it look?
Good. Aaron's 2-2. They won. He had more time. He had more time than the week before. So
good.
He was upright, completing passes, which was good.
Good.
Like I said, once again, I thought the games I checked in and watched most of it. I thought it was pretty good. I thought the football. Once again, when you're now a solid over a month, 5 weeks with training camp until now, being week three. So it would look good. Teams, you can definitely see who the play. I mean, it's 9 teams. You can definitely see who's going to be in the playoffs and who's not. Like there's some really good teams and there's some not good teams.
Yeah. You know, the frustrating part for me is just being over here, because I don't want to. I mean, obviously the games are all on YouTube and everything. I can watch them whenever I want. But, you know, I kind of sound like a broken record here, but it's like, you know, I don't want to spend my whole day here when it's nice out watching football.
I know.
Whereas when the games come on over there, it's nighttime there, and it's just, there's just so much out there. I had all these big plans for Gridiron Mexico. I'm like, oh, I think maybe this year I bit off more than I could chew. Plus, too, I kind of went into it with maybe about a week of planning. You know, I'm like, I can't do that. No, so for I think next year, because I think hopefully the LFA will be around next year, and you know, you and I'll be doing a full on Gridiron. We'll have plenty of time to within the next year to kind of plan to do Gridiron Mexico show. Cause, and the other part too, is just trying to get people to, again, the time difference for me, trying to get people to talk and everything, it kind of makes things a challenge. So we'll see. We'll go, you know, next year. What were we going to say? I'm sorry.
No, my biggest issue still is, and this is all on me, is a language barrier. I know what a draw is. I know what a sweep is. I know what a screen pass is. I know what a button hook is. It's one of those things where I can get that, but I struggle with like trying to watch those coaches' press conferences afterwards. I'm like, they're talking so fast. It is just
But you know, the funny thing is with the way the technology has been going lately, I could see next year with YouTube them having, with AI, instantaneous translations.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
I mean, that's kind of where we're. I mean, that's where we're headed to. That's why, like, things for me, things are a lot easier here in Japan for me than they would have been, say, 30 years ago when I come here. When I first came, it was literally 30 years ago that I came here, just with the technology and everything. So the technology has gotten way, way better. But yeah, maybe next year we'll have everything in real time with, you know, instantaneous subtitles. I know with the X League coming up, you know, we got the X League spring season starting, you know, pretty soon. It's basically a full spring of exhibition games. But the guys that play football here, they don't approach those games like they're exhibition games. They are real games. To them, every game matters. So, but we've got that coming up. Yeah. So there's just a lot of football now. It's amazing how much football there is now compared to when we were kids. I mean, other than the USFL and the World League of American Football, we really never had spring football. So now here we are. Football's 20, you know, year round 24/7. So on that note, let us wrap everything up. Any final thoughts?
My CFL tidbit of the week. I'm not sure if you saw where the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are upset that the Hamilton Ticats tried to get Oliveira to play for them. So the Ticats offered a ton of money for Oliveira to come play for them, and they end up re-signing with the Blue Bombers, but Winnipeg's all upset because how can Hamilton drive up the price of players? And Hamilton goes, "We just want good players." Like it was hilarious how Winnipeg is all upset with Hamilton for driving the price up. It's like
that goes to the U.S. I mean the CFL. I mean it's such a frugal league to begin with, you know. I can see Winnipeg's point, but at the same time, you can also see Hamilton's point. We're going to do what we need, you know, what we think, you know, we're going to do whatever it takes to win. If that means paying the guy more, we're going to pay the guy more.
I mean, I can see both ways. I can see him like, you know what, if we make him pay this much for him, then that brings him closer to the cap and they can't do some of these other things. I mean, that's really getting into the weeds of money because you can go around, there's that marketing dollars that you can spend on people that aren't part of the salary cap. That's a whole nother episode to talk about with that. But it was just, I thought it was hilarious when I read that. I was like, are you kidding me? You're upset that Hamilton wanted to sign arguably the best running back in the CFL. And how dare you offer him a lot of money for that?
That's going to be a fun CFL season. I'm looking forward to it. You know, that's the one that's to, you know, obviously you and I, to me, that's pretty much the official start of pro football season is when the CFL kicks off.
Yeah.
Everything else before then is just kind of the pre-show. And it's going to be, and hopefully, I mean, do we have any word? Is the CFL going to continue their web streams this year? Have you seen anything?
Everything I heard that's the case right now. They're really focused on the combine and things like that. I mean, we're less than 2 months from training camp.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. I can't believe it's end of March. It's almost April.
Yeah. Well, we got what? We got the second. Wait, how many teams are we down to in the final four in the March Madness too? We started off with 64. So we're at the Sweet 16 now.
Yeah,
it goes by quick too. So
yeah,
we had the high school baseball, the spring high school baseball tournament is big here. So they've had that going on. That's been the major sports thing here besides the Shohei Ohtani stuff. And we've got the MPB starts Friday. So I'll probably be in here in this man cave because I was able to get, you know, I'm all set up with my PlayStation and so I got everything. So I'll be able to do my PlayStation over there as I've got the MPB on this monitor here. I am such a, you know, for a guy approaching 57, I am such a 12-year-old.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Keeps me out of trouble, man. That's the key thing. So, well, listen, everybody who's tuned in to us, I've seen a couple people pop in here during the live stream, but you know, I'm kind of taking a look at the last few live streams we've had. We've had, you know, we've had double digits. I mean, we're talking teens of people watching this stuff. So it's nice that people are tuning in. So with all that said, hey, thanks a lot for watching. And as we're talking here, as I'm getting ready to sign off, I've got, you know, with StreamYard and everything, I've got buttons I got to press and everything. So it's, I'm still getting used to this whole thing. So
no problem.
But yeah. But hey, with all that said, hey, everybody who's watching, the ticker is down there. So I don't need to tell you where to find us. We're also on, you know, if you're looking for us online, if you want to message us, complain, poke fun at, mock us, I don't care. We're also at From the 55 on Twitter. We also have a Facebook page. We are at it's From the 55. Just type it in your search engine, From the 55 yard line there on Facebook, and it should go to your page. Like and subscribe, you know, all that good stuff. So, well, Dave, you and I will be talking more after we exit here. But for everybody else listening, tuning in, and the podcast will be out. Anybody's watching the live stream wondering, well, when's the podcast coming out? I've got to do editing. So probably in the next 24 hours, the podcast will officially be out. And hopefully next week we'll have Fran back on. We were hopeful to have Fran with us tonight, but I think work got in the way of his planned appearance. And hopefully, you know, we can get him to come out. We need him to get a video camera so it can be three talking heads instead of two. Which would be awesome. So, okay, I'm done rambling. So on that note, thank you very much for watching, tuning in, listening, and we will be talking and seeing you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Spirit and fight. They'll crouch and snarl and charge and strive to win with all their might. We love those cats, those tiger cats. We don't mind adversity. For we'll whiskey wheelie and husky wallow right on to victory. Spirit and fight. They'll crouch and snarl and charge and strive to win with all their might. We love those cats, those tiger cats. We don't mind adversity. For we'll whiskey wee-wee and husky wallow right on to victory.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and I'd like to invite you to the portal of positive football history, Pigskin Dispatch and PigskinDispatch.com. We talk about everything that centers around the game of American football, expert discussions, the origins of the games, the great players, teams, and coaches, and more, as some great guests and insights from experts. We have new episodes 3 to 4 times a week, and you can find us on SportsHistoryNetwork.com, PigskinDispatch.com, or your favorite podcast provider.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.